President Trump is promising to sign an executive order to temporarily suspend immigration to the United States. He says it would protect American jobs during the coronavirus outbreak. Now, tightening the country's borders has been a central theme of the Trump administration even before coronavirus, and obviously there is an election coming up in a little over 6 months. Let's bring in Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Hi, Julian.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, and does this look to you like a president using a crisis to achieve a pre-existing political goal?
It does. The immigration restriction is something he's been very intent on doing from the time he announced his campaign. And right now he's introducing it at a moment that he sees his presidential power is grander than ever. And because of the connection of the movement of people to the pandemic, he has a path to claim this is what needs to be done.
Do you see him leveraging the crisis politically in other areas?
Oh, absolutely. I think you're going to see many moves in the coming months, certainly to provide more relief to business, possibly further tax cuts, and even certain kinds of deregulations that have been central to his economic agenda. I suspect that will be part of future stimulus bills as well.
So as you look back to how past presidencies have responded to crises in ways that have been criticized, first of all, what comes to mind?
Sure. In during the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln famously suspended the writ of habeas corpus, which was very controversial at the time. Roger Taney opposed it at the time, and it remains part of the legacy that many criticize. Also, FDR during World War II famously set up internment camps for Japanese Americans shortly after Pearl Harbor, which was a very aggressive use of executive power in a way that violated civil liberties and became a model of what not to do for coming generations.
Are there models of what to do that come to mind of presidents that responded, took advantage of a crisis, and did something that people look back on and say, well, good for them?
Sure. After President Kennedy was assassinated and Lyndon Johnson became president, he famously made a speech telling Congress and the nation, let us continue. And the way in which he wanted to continue with Kennedy's legacy was to push the civil rights bill through Congress. And he tried to use that moment of crisis, the moment of trauma when people were still mourning Kennedy, to get through one of the most important pieces of civil rights legislation in American history. Many would say that President Obama did this too in the financial crisis of 2008 and 2009. He used that moment to push for a massive expansion of health care with the Affordable Care Act. So we do look back to some of these times when presidents seize a crisis for other initiatives in good ways as well.
I want to ask you about something else. In a tweet last night, making the announcement about the immigration ban, President Trump called the virus something he's called it before, an invisible enemy. What does that bring to mind for you?
Yeah, it's a controversial term in two ways. One, it's a term often used in nativist circles and even anti-Semitic circles. It's a trope that has been invoked in bad ways to talk about secret enemies who are threatening us. We don't know what his intention was, but that's why the rhetoric is very loaded. It's also a way to kind of give up culpability. If an enemy is invisible, that means the president can't really see it. And so it's not the president's fault that this is causing such havoc. So in both senses, it's a pretty controversial term to use. And I'd conclude this isn't an invisible enemy. That's kind of the point of calling for massive testing. It can be found. And I think that's what his critics are talking about right now.
Julian, as you think about this crisis big picture, and there's so much that we don't know, and we don't know what's going to happen or how long this is going to last, but already it really does feel like a defining moment, one that we'll say pre-COVID, post-COVID, when we look back on this. What's your sense of how monumental this is in American history? Is it as big as World War II?
Oh, it is. I think the traumatic impact it's going to have on all of us, including younger children going through this, it won't be forgotten. This will be part of the memory bank and part of the fear that everyone will have from this point on of how the bottom can fall out and what a pandemic actually means. And there'll also be ongoing pain in the next few years to come because we can't go right back to normal. So we will literally be living with this even as things get better and even as we resume our lives. And we're going to have to work hard not only to repair the economy and make sure this doesn't happen again, but to fix all these social institutions from churches to schools that have been hurt, upset, and frayed as a result of what we're going through.
That's Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton. Julian, thank you.
Thanks for having me.